there, Gasly?
Yes, hello, and welcome to edition 217 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, where Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once shared a pint. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review an absorbing 2018 Bahrain Grand Prix and flick forward to China too. That's right, it's back-to-back, baby. Yes. Coming up, Vettel has something to say about his tyres, Hamilton has something to say, but we probably won't hear him, and we better start listening to Pierre. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there, good evening everyone. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have 2 times Beccles Kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Reigning 3 times NRF1 Prediction League champion Steve Russ.
Good evening.
And a kind of bonus guy joining us, which is great, motoring journalist, long-time podder, David Tillier. DT, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Good to be here.
I didn't know if you were going to talk about your 13-hour shift then.
Oh, well, yeah, but now that you've spread that on. Yeah, I've just literally raced here from the end of my 13-hour shift, so if I sound incoherent or just babble like I am now, then that's why.
Brilliant, I'll move you on. Yeah. Great stuff, great to have you all in. A big thank you as well to Ped for stepping in on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I was panicking and dealing with crying, and that was just me. Well done, Kyle, you almost got there first as well. But we do have a new boy on the planet Earth, and I'm hoping he will be a Formula One racing driver if the eldest, who's only a couple of years older than him, doesn't make it. That's definitely the plan. Someone did suggest to me that I should name the child after a Formula One driver that wins in Australia. The problem was he arrived before Australia, so but Ted Kravitz has just given birth, not himself, his partner, to I believe a new daughter called Albertine, which is very close to my little boy who's called Albie. So me and Ted Kravitz like that. Anyway, thanks to Ped is the gist of that, and maybe that will explain why I will also babble and sound incoherent, and we're not quite there with getting everything going this season on the podcast, but we're not far off, I promise you. I reckon we get straight stuck in to Bahrain on the E217, as we called it. Did we enjoy that race, Carl?
Very much so. After a very depressing Australian Grand Prix, it was good to have a proper race. Lots of overtaking, collisions, strategy. Had it all pretty much.
My wife may have been delirious, but she said, oh, I could watch Formula One, this is good. Which, of course, she should have realised years ago, but she really enjoyed it, and she did find it an absorbing race. And I have to say, I enjoyed the race probably more than a race I've enjoyed in a long time, actually.
Yeah, no, I quite agree. I think if anyone new to the sport was watching, hopefully they didn't watch the previous one to that, but if they were watching, I think that would keep them, watching, more races. It was really, really good.
It's going to be an issue for Formula One when they're not on free-to-air TV, but that's definitely a debate for another day. DT?
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic race. I think, to sort of sum it up, really, that is why we watch Formula One. We watch Formula One for that kind of race. It had a bit of drama. It had lots of things going on from a strategy point of view. It had a few things for us to talk about and deliberate, and that's why we watch Formula One. I thought it was brilliant.
I do kind of feel that the race benefited from being early in the season. There's a lot of uncertainty still around, and it kind of threw up quite a few little curveballs that I get the impression once the team have got 10, 15 races of data, they won't be so curvy, those balls. But we've got to start at the front. We've got to start with the 200th Grand Prix that Sebastian Vettel took on, and he emulated 4 people in winning it. Anyone remember the 4 people?
Would one of them be Lewis Hamilton?
Was Lewis Hamilton, was one, right, yeah.
Jensen Button.
Yes, Jensen.
Schumacher.
Yes. Who was the fourth? Oh, yeah.
Alonso?
Nah, more boring than that.
Mika Häkkinen.
And a bit more surprising as well, actually, because, took him a long time to win a race. Might have been his first race win.
Nico Rosberg.
Nico Rosberg. Well, I'm glad you got them from those clues. I mean, it is back-to-back wins for Sebastian Vettel. I thought Ferrari dealt with it really well in terms of the strategy. They kind of made it happen. They almost hedged their bets, and the race came to them when I think everyone was kind of expecting it to come to Lewis.
Yeah, we were told that the tyres wouldn't last, but somehow Vettel managed to do it. Managed to get the seemed to make them last the perfect amount of time. So yeah, so it wasn't, from just watching it, it doesn't look an amazing race from Vettel, but just his management of the tyres was probably up there one of his better races. So, and also the pressure towards the end of Bottas coming close, yeah, he dealt with very well.
I mean, some people, I think Toto himself said, oh, if we'd had another couple of laps, Formula One doesn't really work like that, does it? Because everyone's racing to the lap, the race distance that they know of.
No, it doesn't. I mean, and he alluded to himself after the race, he said we had at one stage a 90% chance of winning the race and we basically cocked it up. You know, I mean, I think I was sort of saying to Kyle before we started recording, I think for Mercedes it was either a case of two things for me as to why they didn't win it. I think one was they were either being a bit too conservative for too long with Bottas and assumed that the safest and best way would be to wait till the end when Vettel's tyres just fall right off and they could just make an easy pass and not risk anything, or that was all Bottas actually had to give as to why they lost it.
There's a great moment on the radio where Lewis's engineer comes on and just says, yeah, we think Seb's probably managing this, so if you could go a bit quicker, Lewis. And then Lewis probably said, I can't hear you. But anyway, I tend to say this at the start of most seasons, and we'll talk about the strategies and people doing this, that and the other, but ultimately are we not just seeing the fact that actually Ferrari have got a quicker car in race conditions and therefore they're able to dictate and win races because their car is better than Mercedes this season?
It's difficult to say because it's so early on, and again, you know, like you said earlier on, they haven't got the data. You know, it's still early doors. The machine, that whilst the cars are similar to last year's cars, there's that, you know, like Formula One does every year, the cars do change dramatically, and I think we'll have to probably reassess this sort of mid-season to see who's realistically got the quicker car. But definitely Ferrari are making a better job of it. Definitely Ferrari have capitalised on things much better than Mercedes have, and definitely Ferrari seem to be able to make the tyres work a bit better, I think. But definitely the sort of softer compounds, I think the Ferrari is a better car on those. I think out and out performance, there's probably maybe not quite so much in it if they were in there on the same tyres maybe at the same time.
I think they're still very close. I mean, Mercedes should have won the first race, Hamilton should have won by miles, and Vettel and Ferrari were lucky. It's a completely different track, completely different conditions, and obviously the Ferrari works quite well in the Bahrain conditions, hot track and that certain type of track. So it's still got a long way to go, but it does look good for the season. When everybody at the start of the season was saying Mercedes is going to run away with it, and quite clearly that's not going to happen. And Red Bull, if they can finish races, they should be pretty close as well. So
actually, yeah, make it past the first few laps.
I was going to say, can I just briefly point out that this is exactly how last season was. We were sitting here last season saying, well, Ferrari have got the better car, or look like they've got the better car, Mercedes having to play a bit of a chasing game, or was shaping up to be a great season. But as we really got closer to Europe, it was then already beginning to turn around, and this is exactly the same now.
Oh, Steve, love it.
And I think, yeah, to carry on from that point, I think Mercedes are, for me personally, the team that are more capable of evolving their car over the course of the season and finding more performance, whereas Ferrari seem to, they might start strong, but they don't generally tend to, at least from my perspective anyway, from what I've seen from last, they just don't seem to eke out that much more performance from their car over the course of the season.
Really interesting dynamic at Mercedes as well, because Lewis was stressed, and I mean, he was so calm afterwards on the podium. He was really, he's very good at that, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, everything's fine, it was a really good performance, I was in P9 and finished on the podium, that's good. But I'm guessing it is the media training, right, Steve? But you know, on the radio he sounded a bit of a panicky mess, to be honest. And the engineer, I mean, obviously it wasn't an ideal situation, people couldn't communicate, maybe things weren't completely coming through for them to assess the situation. But, and then of course my whirring journalist brain goes, well, Lewis's contract discussions and what have you, is that contract theory at the end of the year, this is interesting. But not an ideal start for the season, regardless of what Steve's saying. You know, they were here last year, I mean, it's not ideal.
I think the stress was mainly because he could sniff something greater than what he was currently getting. Sort of, there was the possibility of a victory, and I think, had you know, if he was resigned to third and that was the best he could do, I think he probably would have seen a different Hamilton. But because he had this sort of, he sniffed that there was a possibility that Vettel might either have to pit or might really struggle towards the end, he wanted to know everything, and that was, he just was just wanted that information so that he could know exactly what's going on, because he does like to know what's going on when he's in the hunt. I think that's what it was. I think it was in the hunt for the victory.
Yeah, it's quite a strange sort of weekend for Hamilton. I think he's probably in the sort of negative Lewis mood, probably because of the gearbox penalty. And he probably was so annoyed because he felt he should have won the first race. And he thought, I can bounce back, and then they go, sorry, Lewis, the gearbox needs to be changed. The fact that he's outqualified Bottas, and he had some brilliant parts in the race. I mean, his overtake, he'd done 3 in one go, was brilliant. But then, like, Alonso overtook him, and he looked a bit quite careful at the start. And then Verstappen should have overtook him before then trying to push him off into another part of the Middle East. It just seemed very, up and down, Lewis. He didn't seem totally happy. But
we'll see how it unfolds, of course, over the coming races, for sure. Of course, what we should say at this point, Ferrari mechanic Francesco Chigorini, which I hope is how you pronounce it, get well soon. Really sickening incident, to be honest. It's not often you see things like that in Formula One, but of course, motorsport, it's dangerous. These things do happen. DT, for the uneducated like me, what did he do to as in terms of injury?
So from what I understand from just the discussion we just briefly had off air, is that he fractured his the tib fib, in short, or tibula and fibula, which is the two bones in your lower leg. They run from just below your knee all the way to your ankle. And I don't know exactly where he fractured them, but it's quite a common injury, but one that people can easily recover from as long as they get the right medical treatment there and then. Normally the treatment for that immediately would be to pull it back into line, because normally if you have a clean break of both...
Kyle's now wincing. We should probably say that DT is a paramedic, so he's not just talking shit. You actually know this shit. You would be the man on the scene, DT.
Well, I've done it to a person on a couple of occasions.
Race mechanic?
Not a race mechanic, no. Normally in Norfolk Farms, when some old boy falls off a ladder or something.
Classic.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing, really.
It was quite literally the last one I went to that was the same kind of injury, an old boy fell off a ladder. But yeah, you would effectively apply what we call traction, which is you pull on the end of the leg to bring the bones back into line. You strap them and then you give them lots of pain relief. Actually, you give them pain relief first, actually.
Yes, okay. Well, Francesco, let's stop that now. Yeah. Francesco, get well soon, of course. Did anyone get to see Kimi's reaction after the race to it when he was doing interviews and things like that?
They did that in the pen. They asked him, do you know how your mechanic is? And he didn't know at the time. So
it was quite defensive, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was kind of like, well, you know, when the green light goes, I have to go. You know, it's not... He was almost trying to sort of say, it wasn't my fault, you know. He felt a bit negligent.
Yeah, feel bad for him.
And it isn't Kimi's fault, is it? At the end of the day, he's focusing on one thing, the go light. That's all he's going to focus on. You're not going to be able to see in his mirrors or his peripheral vision. So, you know, yeah.
And that was the second unsafe release from Ferrari in the weekend, because they also sent Kimi out in free practice, wasn't it? With a wheel, I think there was something in free practice, a wheel not fitted correctly. Kyle, you're here, but of course we had the two Haas issues in Australia as well, and I think there's a serious discussion to be had here about whether teams are just chasing things to be so quick to hundreds of seconds. They're taking risks and they're not doing it properly, but I think we might well have that discussion on our Patreon podcast. A reminder in the meantime that the best places to interact with us on social media are Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three of those at the NRF1. We also have a superb Facebook group that's in its infancy, but we're building up. You can join that if you go onto the Facebook page, which, as I said, is at the NRF1. We love getting your emails too. We had some crackers last year. We've got some brilliant ones filtering through already this. The email address, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And there is our website that ties everything together, nrf1.uk, for all the links you could possibly need to immerse yourself in this awesome podcast, as I like to refer to it. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. So we've got a trio to get through. We're going to start off at Toro Rosso, of course, and Pierre Gasly in particular. P4 for a Honda engine attached to a Toro Rosso car that was slow in Australia. A remarkable effort from a driver who, you know, we did kind of think this guy might have something, but hadn't really seen it until then. Kyle, how did they do it?
No idea. But they were. He was quick in qualifying. In his quick or race, he had no problems from behind. He was happily sitting in fourth. Quite a big part of the race. He was 50 seconds behind Vettel in the interval for a long time. So his pace was good, and he pulled away from some very quick drivers behind him. So it came out of nowhere, really. But yeah, can't knock him.
I mean, Sauber, Marcus Ericsson had a particularly good race, but later on did come the fall away. He was running, I think, seventh with a few laps to go, and I think he ended up ninth, which is still a fantastic performance. Sauber picking up a point two races in is remarkable, but the fact that Gasly had enough to keep it going, had enough to stay involved, and I mean, one place off the podium for an engine. I mean, what on earth are McLaren going to have made of that?
Well, yeah, that was going to be my point. It's quite embarrassing for McLaren, because I mean, they haven't had the best of seasons to start with, but I mean, they probably had a bit of a smile maybe after Australia, but this is quite embarrassing really for them. I mean, because you couldn't really sort of say, oh well, you know, it was because of safety cars and other things come into play. He generally had pace and had no problems in, like Carl said, keeping what would normally be quicker cars behind him, from overtaking him. It was pretty good effort. My driver of the day, but we haven't got to that point yet. But there's no doubt in my mind on that one.
Pretty decent shout too. Okay, let's move it on to our second stop, Red Bull Racing, or Red Bull Retirements, as they were basically on. I just came up with that then. I'm quite happy with that. What on earth happened? Because actually, they had really good pace in pre-practice, and Danny Ricciardo had the measure of a few of the cars in some of the sessions, and had a real chance to pick up some serious points, and to not even get round the first five laps.
Well, from what I understand, they potentially had some really good race pace in them. It did sound like they were up for, you know, fighting for some, definitely for some, at least for some podium places. Ricciardo especially, obviously he was in the best position, and had a potential to do quite well. So massive missed opportunity. And as for Verstappen, he's only got his own self to blame, really.
For the puncture, I guess. Yeah. I mean, was it still an electrical failure on the car in the end, or was it the damage from the car that
it was? It was the in-lap on the punctured tyre that caused the damage to the vehicle that then caused it to retire.
Okay. Yeah, that is his own fault. That's fine.
Whether that's the real reason or whether that's the excuse, I don't know. But
so then I suppose you get into the realms of a really unfortunate situation, but you know, it's a shame. I mean, were they the only retirements in the end in total? Did anyone else? No, Kimi obviously retired as well, didn't he? Was that it?
Yes. Yeah, the two Red Bulls and Kimi.
So I mean, because we all, back in the day, that was Red Bull's mantra, wasn't it? Really, cars developed to the edge, but quite brittle. You know, to have an electrical failure like that so early for a car that should really have been pushing is a monumental failure. These points still cost them a lot when we get to the end of the season, even though it's happening early in the season.
Was it a power surge or some error they faulted for Verstappen flying off in qualifying? So yeah, he's lost a hell of a lot of points. I mean, he had Ricciardo's red flag, or the not slowing down for red flag and the penalty in Australia, and there's just too many mistakes, you know, and they, to start the season, they're sort of falling behind already. So yeah, must do better.
Sort of the scary thing for me is that one of the things Ricciardo said, like during the race when he was being interviewed, is that the first thing he knew about it was the fact that their brakes are gone, because they've got, of course, it's brake by wire. In fact, if you have that complete electrical failure, then you've got no brakes. Like, it's not like the old system where you can just use, you know, brute force to kind of, you know, overcome it. But this is the proper brake by wire now. So there is no physical connection between his, at least my understanding is, there's no physical connection between his foot and the brake servo that's applying pressure to the brakes, because it's brake by wire.
That does seem like a remarkable failure in potential safety. As much as you stick a halo on it, you could still need brakes if your electrics fail.
I can remember, just to put a side point to that, when probably 2014, 15, something like that, when Hamilton was coming into the pits with a fire, and because they were concerned about him losing brakes, they basically just sort of said, pull over now, there's a marshal there with an extinguisher, because that is the problem, you know, because it's brake by wire. You've got a fire, it'll just burn out the electrics and you'll have no brakes.
Well, that just seems like a massive flaw.
Well, just to make you a little bit more scared, that's how pretty much all modern cars are built as well.
Excellent. Oh, thanks, DT. At least you're a paramedic, you'll be on the scene, there's no worries. Well, of course, Red Bull will be hoping that a quick turnaround doesn't really hamper the fact that their car will not break down. The third stop I wanted to make is at Haas. Kyle, great to have you on. I mean, Australia, obviously, what a mess that was, and a lot's been said, and all eyes were, of course, on their pit stops this time around. But it kind of got missed, the fact that Kevin Magnussen had a wonderful race. He finished P5, which normally would have been the talk of the town had it not been for Gasly finishing P4, and Magnussen obviously trying to push him really high. I mean, we still didn't really hear from Giuliano Salvi, which is a bit of a disappointment. But I want more Giuliano.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance when Magnussen was complaining about Grosjean, tell him to get out of the way, I think that's on term. But I thought Magnussen was brilliant. He was full on arm Kevin Magnussen, suck my ball mode, wasn't he? Just
suck my ball mode. Brilliant.
Because he touched twice, I think. He was off the track a couple of times. Because one of my favourite moments is that race, I think Hülkenberg pushed him wide at turn two and three. And then he still got back on it and dived down the inside of him to turn four. He was just like, I don't care, I'm Kevin Magnussen. And that's just, I thought he was superb.
He just does not give a shit.
I do really like K-Mac. Especially after the suck my ball comment. It's something about him. It's just, he's cool.
What a dude. Right, well, there will be much more on the NRF1 pit stops and chat about the 2018 Bahrain Grand Prix in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1, and join our growing list of patrons. As a special treat, our pre-Bahrain exclusive podcast was actually available for everyone to listen to. It still is. Again, visit patreon.com/NRF1 and you too can give it a listen. Now it's time for our Of the Weekends. Steve, you gave us a little taster, so let's bring it right down. Four key awards, although I did see something from Rich suggesting maybe we should get a fifth one out, so we'll think about that. But Steve, I'll start with you for the Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend.
Gasly.
Fair enough. I think Pierre Gasly, stunning effort.
There's no other word for it. Just best driver of the day.
Yeah, a little mention of Ericsson. But yeah, has to be Gasly.
And Magnussen, but we've just done that.
Yeah, I think my driver of the weekend was, which fluctuated throughout the race. At one point, I thought it was going to be Lewis Hamilton, and I'll explain why in a bit when we come to another run of our of the weekends. And then I thought towards the end, if it really is going to be, if Bottas, I've got his name for a second there, if Bottas manages to do this, if he manages to get right up to the gearbox of him and make a pass, I thought, maybe he's going to give it, but he bottled it right at the last minute. I thought it was a bit of a damp squib, but it was the final sort of result. So yeah, so God be Gasly, you can't give it to anyone else.
Team of the weekend. Ain't Red Bull.
None of the top teams. You can't, because none of them had a perfect weekend.
Toro Rosso? Slash Honda? But Hartley didn't have a particularly good weekend, did he? I mean, Haas, but Grosjean Haas, didn't. Yeah. McLaren, no. Sauber?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking Sauber for overperforming.
Yeah. They did overperform. I'm probably going to give it to the guys who are doing all of the broadcasting, because I know I wasn't on the first podcast after Australia, but I just think the way they're getting the sound pumped through, the way they're cutting the race shots, the graphics.
Graphics are much better.
The graphics are huge better because of the amount of information, and everything seems to be adding pace to the spectacle.
Do you find now with the graphics you understand what's going on elsewhere a lot better, like with regards to the penalties and stuff? It's so much clearer. And also, this might have been picked up in the last pod, I do apologise, but this is the first full race I've managed to watch, and I noticed that they've got in the graphic at the bottom, they've got the steering wheel angle, the paddles that they're being hit. Yeah. Amazing.
Really, and what really turn good. They're on around the track. Yeah. It's a simple little detail. Yeah. The only thing I could have done with more is knowing which tyre everyone was on during the race.
At the moment, a bit of a lack of showing actually the pit stop clock, doesn't it? But I think that is a bit of an error at the moment, isn't it?
I think they're nearly there. But I just think, we've spoken a lot in the last year or so about what Liberty would do. And I think there are clear, obvious, and maybe they're a bit subtle and some people miss them, made real changes to the show and how it comes across on TV.
Also, I love the logo now.
Yeah.
I think it looks brilliant.
Just the little video at the start. You know how they introduced the F1 coverage? It used to be do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- There we go. Anyway, that's like aside. So they get my vote for team of the weekend. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, DT.
The Dutchman.
Max?
Yeah, Verstappen. There we go. You can tell I've been at work all day and my brain is dead. Yeah, Max Verstappen for that silly manoeuvre.
Also Max, but I think I mentioned for Williams. Absolute shocker.
Look like idiots, which you might get a mention in the Patreon podcast. Yeah, they're one for another day. We're definitely going to talk about those in the other podcast.
I was thinking of Martin Brundle for his comments after the race about how Vettel and his tyres. Like, for winning the race on tyres that wouldn't pass an MOT... Bearing in mind, it was at 1.5 mil of tread you need on your tyres to pass an MOT in their slicks. And then he quickly slipped in and went, oh, yes, and actually, because obviously you wouldn't pass it anyway because they're slick tyres and you can't have that as an MOT.
Norfolk's own Martin Brundle.
I thought, how many millions of people was watching this and you just made yourself look like a right pillar?
Well, we'll give Martin Brundle one a season, don't worry about that. Okay, well, Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend then. For me, and you may have clocked it at the start of the podcast, a load of Toro Rosso mechanics dancing in the pit lane going oi 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 oi. It was the best sound I've ever heard, and I suggest if you wonder that I've gone slightly loopy, go back and find it. It is priceless. What a brilliant occasion for them, and that warmed my heart. But other moments of the weekend?
Hamilton overtaking three into one corner.
F-ing amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. That, again, I said it earlier in the podcast, that is why I watch Formula One, for moments like that. It's not necessarily always about the bigger race, it's sometimes just about those small individual moments, and me sitting in my living room on my own going, get in, son, go on. It was a brilliant moment, really, really fantastic, and typical Lewis Hamilton.
I made a noise after that one, I think. I was like, oh yes. Did you, Carl?
Yeah, it's just, I sort of said, he's got to make it through three cars now. Oh, he's done it in one straight. Fair enough. Move on to the next one. I think my comment of a moment was probably, as I said earlier, Kevin Magnussen sort of being pushed off 1 minute and then diving down the next full K-Mag.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, Lewis's move was pretty good. I mean, I first got a glimpse, because I think the camera was a bit zoomed out from behind, and I saw that, and I thought... I pretty certainly took three there. That looked pretty good, I'm sure, at a proper camera angle, and then they showed it. That was probably one of the moves of the weekend, really.
Okay, it's time to give our race rating. This is out of 11 for the record. I believe the verdict was a 6 on the season opening Australian Grand Prix, which I think had you rather shaking your head slightly there, Kyle.
Yes, I mean, I'm going for 14 for Bahrain. 6 is far too high, in my opinion, but
yeah. It was pretty awful, I thought, the Australian Grand Prix, but there we go. This one was much better, wasn't it? So out of 11, guys, will you give the Bahrain Grand Prix? Bearing in mind, at the start of the season, you don't want to go too high, but as we know, Australia was 6. Kyle?
8. I think that's a fair number. Yeah, 8.
I was going to give it an 8, so I'd agree with that. You can do decimals, that is fine.
Bearing in mind, I've become increasingly pessimistic when it comes to Formula 1 over the last couple of years. I'm going to give it 9.5.
Nice.
Because it reinvigorated my love for Formula 1. Bear in mind, I didn't actually watch the Australian Grand Prix because I couldn't be bothered. And I call myself...
You didn't
Formula
really
One.
Miss a lot, that was
no, it. No, and that's the thing. I watched the 6 minute or how many minutes highlights they now put on YouTube, which is kind of handy. So I kind of knew what happened. I saw the main things, but I really couldn't be bothered because... Formula 1 is doing less and less lately to kind of make me interested, and I'm glad I sat down and watched this race, because it is, again, I keep saying it, this is why we watch Formula 1.
I'm not too worried about it being too high a mark, because I'm a little bit conscious that you don't know at the start of the season, you can have that uncertainty and you might not get it later in the season. Steve, rating?
I was thinking sort of more sort of 8.5, you know, because I was sort of thinking, like, obviously, like last year, I mean, like, we had Silverstone, Baku. I mean, they were cracking races, so I don't want to be a little bit too high, and then we get to them, and I suddenly regret that now.
Hey, we can always go higher than 11, as we know from last season. And a short one-word answer to finish our Bahrain stuff. Who had the biggest smile heading home on their plane? One-word answer.
No, there's one word. I can't do any more words.
No, I didn't quite get it on the mic, Steve.
Oh, sorry, Vettel.
There you go. Kyle.
Gasly.
Everyone at Toro Rosso.
Oi, 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 oi. Right. You can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link for you, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast. And we have added to the list Spotify and Radio Public and hopefully Deezer, although we're still waiting for them to actually say yes. So if you listen to Deezer, send them an email and say, get the NRF1 podcast on, you gents. And then we'll sort it all out. If our podcast is not on your player of choice, then just send us an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure that happens. And please rate and review us on iTunes if you get the chance. Follow the link nrf1.uk/isonitunes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. Right, I have a quick preview of China. That is next, round three of the 2018 season. Already, it's back-to-back race weekends as well. China's given us some good races recently, I think, off the top of my head. I'm drawing blanks, actually. Kyle?
I like China. I don't know why. I like an early morning race as well. It's a bit of weather normally around, isn't there? And normally a decent race. Yeah,
I'm with Carl on that one. I don't know what it is about China. I quite like it. Big straights, interesting hairpins. Do you like a good hairpin? Yeah, yeah. Good race. I always enjoy it.
Steve?
Yeah, no, I like it because they've talking about the weather. I mean, in previous seasons they've tried it at the end of the season, the start, and that, and the, to try and counteract having, because they did have a few real washouts. But even still, though, you still generally ended up with either some rain in the race or a wet start or something like that. But it's always a good race. I always like it.
I always preferred Malaysia, but there we go. Never mind. Now, we will get stuck into much more in terms of looking ahead to China in our Patreon podcast, but time is pressing on this one. What we do now is our Prediction League predictions. We will give you just a taster of them. All our predictions will actually be on the Patreon podcast. Therefore, if you really want to get stuck in and involved, you can listen to them there. The 2018 Prediction League, it is a bit like old football tables back in the day on CFAX. We're going to give it a few races before we bring you right up to date, as in I'm just buying myself some time. But the rules are, for 2018, all the previous rules exist. Predictions need to be submitted before the start of FP1. You can do that by email, by all our social media channels. There is a new rule as well, no more than 5 predictions per race. And as I said, we'll bring you everyone's predictions in full over at patreon.com/nrf1. In terms of the rules of the Prediction League too, I'll just bring you up to date. If you become a patron at Patreon, you'll have a look, you can see all the different tiers. You are then entered officially into the Prediction League, and the person with the best prediction score after each Grand Prix will win a prize. It'll be a prize where you'll go, oh, that's nice, I promise you. So they will be sorted out over the next few weeks and we'll bring everything fully up to date. If you don't and are not a patron, that's fine. You can still submit your predictions, enter the Prediction League, and I'll still certainly do my best to make sure you're included in the regular table of standings. But of course, you won't be included in the prize giving. And also, if I am short of time, you are probably going to have to wait a little bit longer for your results to be added up. And, you know, why wouldn't you want to actually become a patron and join fully and win prizes after every race, DT? Every race, you can win a prize.
Amazing.
That'd be good, I promise you. I promise you. So there we go. In terms of the Chinese Grand Prix, I want one prediction from you each as to what is going to happen. I'm going to go first. Why have I said that? And I'm going to say that Nico Hülkenberg will finish in the top 6. There you go. DT.
Toro Rosso will be back where they were in Australia.
Yes. Go on, put a number on it. Outside the top 15.
I don't think it'll be that unfair. I think probably nothing inside the top 12.
Kyle.
Hamilton and Mercedes likes China, so I'm going for the Hamilton treble of pole position, fastest lap, and race win.
As a single prediction as well. Boom, the Oracle. It's been a while since we called you that. 3 times Prediction League champion Steve Rust just takes his finger away from his chin. He's been thinking about this one.
Yeah. Mercedes to take their first win of the season.
There you go. Short, sweet, and determined. That is Steve Rust. Hashtag Ask Steve. We are bringing it back. I think it was Sam Todd, wasn't it, made the point that Ask Steve, hashtag Ask Steve, needs to come in full throttle.
You'd say determined, but bear in mind, I completely forgot to do any predictions for the last race.
You did? Yeah. Oh, Kyle's got very excited about that.
It wasn't until today that I actually realised that.
It was very quiet. I must admit, people, I didn't
care.
It
wasn't last year, hashtag Steve's safe bet.
We actually got some email in about that, didn't we? We read this out in the pre-season one, didn't we? It's quite funny.
He loves it, he loves it. We are done, we are out of time. In fact, we've pushed the boundaries of time, but we hope you don't mind. Enjoy the run-up to the Shanghai shenanigans. And remember, if you want to hear more from us about Bahrain, China, the latest F1 news and all sorts of other talking points from what happened in Bahrain and what is going on in the world of Formula 1, then you can hear our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast. That will include what I want to talk about, tyres, how much of an influence the tyres are actually having. Formula 1 launching its countdown to 1,000 races, which is apparently going to go on for about 4 years. And Martin Brundle suggesting something being scrapped that would make my heart melt. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/nrf1. We will return with E218, our China review podcast, and another bonus Patreon edition shortly after the action in Shanghai. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and the Rush Cutters Public House, and it's goodbye from the crew. Goodbye, DT.
Adios.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Cheerio.
Goodbye, Steve.
Bye.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Sebastian has a spring in his step, and he hasn't got long to go before he gets another go. Until China, goodbye.